I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network. And Terry Anderson of the Hoover Institution has a new book, which we're going to preview because I'm looking forward to it when it's sent to me by Hoover, and Terry and I can speak at length. It's entitled Adapt and Be Adept, Market Responses to Climate Change, edited by Terry Anderson. And there's an excerpt in the Hoover Digest, so I've read through several pieces of the themes, and I'll start with Terry's recommendation of a carbon tax. And why a carbon tax is a way of adapting to what we understand now is the ambition of the Biden administration and others, but the Biden administration, to transform the United States quickly to all renewable generation of electricity by the year 2035. And all of that attends to keep our prosperity in line. All of that attends. So how do we adapt to that brave new world that the Biden administration is pursuing? One way is a carbon tax. It is not the most popular way right now, but it is a way forward. Terry, what is a carbon tax? What does it mean? Why do you regard it as the successful way forward as compared to regulation, for example?
Thank you, John. And you start with the carbon tax, an issue that I've debated many times with the late Secretary George Shultz. When the Secretary and I would be sitting in a room together, we would sometimes get into quite heated arguments. And he was just a real proponent of the carbon tax. I side with him and others who have proposed carbon tax, other Hoover people, in fact, in that it is a way of reducing our dependence on carbon, and probably a much better way than some of the other proposals that suggest we can somehow subsidize wind and solar to get us off of carbon. That said, my arguments with Secretary Shultz centered around the fact that a carbon tax is not something set by a room full of economists interested in achieving efficiency. Rather, it's set by a room full of politicians. And a carbon tax, as one of the chapters in the book explains, is nice as blackboard economics, but it doesn't work when you're looking through the window at the real world. In the real world, a carbon tax is something that's supported by the environmentalists and by some economists, to be sure. And they are what economists often refer to as the Baptists in this mix, the people who have this kind of a religious fervor for getting us off of carbon-based fuels and solving the climate change issue. On the other side of the Baptists are the bootleggers, the people who push for this in the political rooms. And those are the people whose pockets are going to be lined by subsidies to solar and wind. And in between are the politicians who are the brokers. So a carbon tax could work, but I suspect it will be a political tax. It will definitely hurt the poor because it'll reduce our ability to get cheap energy that's important to get people out of poverty. So a carbon tax makes good economic sense, good blackboard economic sense, but won't work so well in the politics.
And cap and trade, something that I know the Europeans have been keen on for many years, but I'm unaware that it's universal now. Is that a way forward for adapt to the changing environment, Terry?
Well, again, it's being promoted by the Biden administration. It's been a total failure in Europe. In some other work I've done, I've documented the ways in which the cap and trade carbon-based emission trading system in Europe has not worked. So Europe is not a stellar example of what can be achieved. And once again, just to briefly explain, cap and trade is you set a cap on carbon emissions and then you allow people to trade their emission credits to people who now can't reduce their carbon use. The problem with cap and trade, back to my earlier rant, is that it's political. And I was at a Wall Street Journal conference once engaged with Jeff Immelt, who was then CEO of General Electric, And he was promoting cap and trade. And I said, well, it's nice for you because you stand to get a lot of the cap and then you can sell it. And he responded when I said that, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And that perfectly explains, I think, the politics that goes on with cap and trade, that goes on with taxation. And what this book is about is how we can move away from that using the greatest minds in the world in the asset markets, real estate markets, for example, in insurance markets, in finance markets. There are all manner of things that are dealing with the risks of climate change, be it hurricanes, temperatures, even snowfall. And those are people who are, yes, making money, but they're allowing us to adapt to climate change, which is not going to slow down in 100 years or more.
If I understand in this excerpt in from the Hoover Digest, we need to accept that hydrocarbons remain part of our energy answer for prosperity indefinitely. And at the same time, we're looking for market signals. That's the term of art you use. Market signals for us to adapt to hydrocarbons and our ambition for reducing greenhouse gases. What would a market signal look like, Terry? Can you give us an example?
Yes, the book has several, and when you get a chance to look at it after it's released on April 6th, you can delve into some of them. I think the first to just the point about our inability to wean ourselves from carbon, we are moving forward. We have better solar generation. We have better wind generation, but we haven't solved all the problems of battery storage, and Texas found out we haven't all solved all the problems of what happens when it gets cold. We do have some progress on those fronts, but not nearly enough to accommodate the demands that we have met by carbon production. So what's an example of how these markets are working? I was just in Florida, partly working and partly taking a little vacation. And Florida has seen a dramatic change in beachfront property prices. And those changes are showing a downward trend in property prices. Why? Well, if you're more worried about hurricanes and in particular worried about storm surge, then you maybe want to account for that. And so people are now paying a higher price for higher ground. That's a way, and a simple way, that real estate markets take account of this kind of risk associated with climate change. Another one, there's a way of showing risks through what are called derivatives in the finance market. Many of your listeners will know what those are. Let's just put aside that what they are and say that these are finance-related tools that allow ski runs to adjust to changes in snowfall. One ski area that has a lot of snow purchases this insurance policy essentially and says, if we get a lot, we'll be willing to put into the pool. And another ski run that gets not enough snow gets to take out of the pool so it can survive and deal with this risk. These markets are flourishing, but most of us don't know anything about them, which is okay. We don't need to know about them as long as they're working well. And they are the move forward in how we adapt.
Then if I generalize, having not read the book, and you know I look forward to the detail here, if I generalize correctly from this excerpt in Hoover Digest, the political answers for adaptation are not desirable. They have problems that don't show up on the blackboards in schools and think tanks, but they do show up in the real world, hence the cap-and-trade disappointment in Europe. The market signals, for example, who could have believed that beachfront property is declining in value? That is something that, if we watch carefully, will guide us. Do I say all that correctly, Terry? We have about a minute.
Yeah, you said it very, very well. And it's so evident to the people who are actually out there dealing in these markets. And what happens too often is politics gets in the way.
Right.
One of the chapters in the book looks at what's happened with fire policy in California. And the state of California has sent the exact wrong signals for people to adapt to wildfire, which
then
is happening.
I look forward to that chapter, a wildfire chapter, with Terry Anderson of the Hoover Institution. The new book, forthcoming, we're before the book arrives, is Adapt and Be Adept, Market Responses to Climate Change, edited by Terry Anderson. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.